Typical Mandarin.
Hi everyone, I'm Phil DeLuca and my fellow hosts are
Nate Burgess,
Sean Watson.
Thanks for listening to the Commander and MTG podcast. We're going to put a spotlight on community issues, but never, ever talk about five banned topics. Religion,
Phil, that's three banned topics.
That's what it says right there.
Right, three banned topics. Sorry, my mistake. Religion, politics, and Hearthstone. Remember to check us out on Twitter at Commander and MTG and talk to us there.
This week, we're going to put a spotlight onto a certain strategy, and we're going to have our first ever contest.
Woohoo! Yeah, that's great. Hey, Nate, what's our main topic this week?
This is going to be the start of our Big Mana series. It's where we focus on commanders who do not care much about converted mana cost. In other words, they can cheat out big spells, or they can copy them, or they can get a discount on them that's huge, or maybe they can make them show up later. Anyway.
Cheating.
They kind of cheat stuff out. Nearly all of the big mana commanders happen to have access to both blue and red.
What?
Crazy.
So today's episode, the start of our Big Mana series, will focus on Jaleva, Nephalia Scourge, Maelstrom Wanderer, and Narset Enlightened Master.
Now those are some cheaty commanders.
Oh yeah.
Hey. Now, Nate is very much a Jaleva guy. I'm very much a Maelstrom Wanderer guy, so I'm guessing that makes you the sad person at the party that's playing with Narset and no one wants to play with?
No, I'm very sorry. I'm not gauche enough to have a Narset Enlightened Master deck. I allow other people in the metas I've been part of to play such degenerate decks. But Narset is one of those that...
Yeah.
Narset is kind of easily abused.
She suffers with the Rafik problem, doesn't she? So
she does. She absolutely does. So, Nate, you said this is the start of our Big Mana series. What does that mean?
Well, we're going to cover a lot of generals, but it's going to take more than one episode to do it. So in future episodes of our Big Mana series, we will visit the likes of Joyra of the Gitu, Intet the Dreamer, Melek, Izzet Paragon, Wart the Rainmother, Riku of Two Reflections, and Animar, Soul of Elements. Listeners, please let us know if you have a general we missed that would go well in this series.
And who knows, maybe in Battle for Zendikar, we'll see a couple more commanders come out that care about mana like this.
What an excellent link to the news section, Phil. Smooth and natural.
We're going to cover a couple of topics in our news. We're going to cover five topics in the news today.
Phil, we're doing two topics today. Two. Oh, it says that here.
Oh, no, we have four topics. Sorry, that's my mistake. My mistake again. First up, we have Battle for Zendikar spoilers.
Ooh, can I talk about this one?
Oh, sure. It's definitely a card that you would like.
Yeah, so they spoiled one of the new Eldrazis. All happy? I am. Nate, read for me the Oblivion Sower.
As you command, Oblivion Sower. 6 colorless, creature Eldrazi. 5 power, 8 toughness. When you cast Oblivion Sower, target opponent exiles the top 4 cards of his or her library. Then you may put any number of land cards that player owns from exile onto the battlefield under your control.
The only question I have is, do the Eldrazi have limits to their hunger?
The Eldrazi hunger without limit and consume without pause. We have tentacles instead of paws.
I guess we won't be seeing any Eldrazi beasts, will we?
No.
Tentacled beasts.
Yeah, it's all going a bit Japanese for me now. The Oblivion Sower, this is a mythic rare, obviously, with that ability. So it's our first new Eldrazi, notably the first Eldrazi, rather than an Eldrazi spawn we've seen, that does not have the Annihilator mechanic.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Annihilator was a mechanic which, when it if you don't know what Annihilator does, kids, go read it up. Any of the Eldrazi is good. This card's nuts. Exiling top four cards of your opponent's library is pretty good. It ramps a bit, but I think the notable thing about this is it's only 6 mana to cast for a 5/8 creature.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it by far the cheapest Eldrazi. I think the cheapest we'd had before that was 8. There might be a 6, the one that has to attack every turn. If you've got an opponent that's playing a sort of very land-heavy deck, you're going to keep swinging at it. Your opponent has to do it. This is a great card.
Ulamog's Crusher was 8 mana.
Was it 8? So this is the cheapest Eldrazi.
Colorless Eldrazi, yeah. The cheapest one. Yeah, it's interesting to note that it doesn't have Annihilator. Annihilator, of course, is a triggered ability that whenever an Eldrazi with whenever a creature, who knows, maybe we'll see other things. Whenever a creature with Annihilator attacks, the defending player sacrifices a number of permanents equal to the Annihilator rating. So something small, like an Artisan of Kozilek, that only has Annihilator 2. Mm-hmm. And so when it attacks, you only have to sacrifice 2 permanents.
Whereas Ulamog and Kozilek, who are the two Eldrazi Titans that we can play with in Commander, Emrakul's band kids, they had Annihilator 4, which it starts getting silly powerful. Especially if your opponent needs to do a board wipe, somehow cheating an Eldrazi or get an Eldrazi out and swing with it, and you're sort of hitting people's mana base then. Really good. But this doesn't have Annihilator, which means we're going to hopefully see some cheaper Eldrazi that do some wacky but objectively powerful things.
Indeed. Yeah, this one is like Annihilator, but for the future.
Well, I mean, he's sowing Oblivion.
And it also works against people who've delved a lot of their lands away, or people whose graveyards have disappeared under the effect of someone evil and cruel and vicious who hates graveyards.
Someone who exiles graveyards, perhaps?
Maybe someone who exiles graveyards.
And has exiled a bunch of graveyards before this, and then upon casting this guy, gets to look at a big pile of exiled lands and choose one?
Yeah, maybe something like that.
Yeah, that's really good.
But it's not just choose one.
So you choose one player, one opponent, who has a pile of exiled cards.
Yep.
This whets my appetite for what's to come as well, from the rest of Battle for Zendikar.
It really does. And if it weren't for the...
I'm excited.
They had to throw these two out there because of the marketing materials. They actually had to put some marketing and sales materials out, and that included the packaging for this... what is it? Eldrazi versus Zendikar, right?
Hmm.
The second card they spoiled for this Eldrazi versus Zendikar Clash Pack. The new artwork for Avenger of Zendikar.
Yeah. Avenger of Zendikar's been reprinted a couple of times. Original Zendikar block and in some Commander product.
Right.
It's a great card. We're going to discuss it later on, actually, on our main topic. So don't get to it. What do we think of this new artwork, guys?
He's got a pointy hat. He looks like Pyramid Head from Silent Hill if he went all Cthulhu and sprouted a bunch of tentacles and swamp-thinged himself. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's neat that the Avenger of Zendikar shows more tentacles. Is that a coincidence, do we think?
Nope.
Are they tentacles or are they roots from a tree?
Well,
does it matter?
Root tentacles.
Ruticles.
As long as they're reaching out and grabbing things.
Right, so it's the Avenger of Zendikar's birthday. They've said, we're giving you some new art. We're going to give you a little hat.
Right.
Happy birthday to... Oh, no, that's copyright music. I can't sing that, can I? But, yeah, his hat, he's got cake. He's looking around. He's sharing his cake with his little plant friends. Yay. If this is back, the Avenger of Zendikar back, it does confirm that Landfall is going to be a mechanic back in Zendikar, the new Zendikar block, and Landfall was a very popular mechanic back in the day.
Yep.
The highlight for me for Landfall was Lotus Cobra. Good card. Anyway, moving on from spoilers and previews.
We also have a YouTube channel now.
Yeah, we do.
Nate, tell us more about that.
I took all the podcasts and I stuck some free movie maker software on them, and they're on YouTube. So you can look at them there.
We put images of the cards that we're talking about. And if it makes it easier to listen to, or if that's a better format for you to listen to our podcast, then hey, hit it. Welcome.
Yeah, subscribe to the channel, leave YouTube comments, and most YouTube comments are always brilliant, so I look forward to that. I tell you what is on there, which hasn't been mentioned, is Nate, the genius that Nate is, has been recording and editing some little special segments that are exclusively on the YouTube channel. There's a charity appeal on there, there's some musical segments. Go check them out. They're good fun. Good work, Nate. I couldn't do any of this stuff.
Thank you, sir.
Utter philistine. Utter philistine when it comes to technology.
Yeah, Nate, that's really, really good news. That was a very nice surprise to basically start seeing your messages come through our chat channel, and then we'll put a link in our show notes.
So, moving on to topic number five.
Topic three.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
So we also made a post on the EDH subreddit, so EDH subredditors, welcome. We've been kind of focusing on Twitter and Facebook, and now it's time to bring the EDH family into the fold. And it's good timing, because that will allow you to participate in the contest that we're going to describe at the end of the show.
Mm.
EDH Rec, Donald P. Miner has installed basically a bot that can read the EDH subforums, and if you post a deck list to, I think, Deck Stats or Tapped Out, then the bot will read your deck and automatically put up a page for you.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. I did not know that.
He found himself recommending to people a bunch of cards, and then he was like, wait a second, this is kind of silly, and he wrote a bot to handle that for him.
I'm slightly addicted to EDH Rec, by the way. It's a great website.
It is a great website.
I do like it when I see that I have a bunch of unique cards to my deck. And as more people put in their decks over time, you know, of course that'll disappear. But it is satisfying to see that you can build an effective deck yourself that isn't exactly like everyone else's.
Yeah, that is nice.
I'm very upset to see that Phage the Untouchable isn't the most popular mono-black commander. I mean, who doesn't want a commander that automatically kills you as soon as you play it? Anyway, that aside, moving along.
Hey, Nate, how are they going to find us on the tube?
If you just put into YouTube Commander in, we do come up, but annoyingly at the moment, YouTube keeps trying to correct it to, did you mean Commander? So you have to re-click on the bit that says, no, I meant Commander in because I can type. That'll take us straight to our channel.
If you go to YouTube and you search for Commander in apostrophe, it'll start showing you our episodes. For me, anyway.
And our last piece of news is we're going to end up changing our feed to allow us to track the number of people listening and downloading our episodes a little bit more accurately. When we get that feed corrected, I'll make sure to post on the EDH subreddit and Facebook and Twitter. That was the last of our five news items, so now I think we're going to go back to our main topic, the Big Mana series generals. Nate, can you recap us?
Yeah, this is our Big Mana series. We're focusing on commanders who don't care about converted mana cost. They have some way of cheating in. They're big cards. And today we're talking about Jaleva, Maelstrom Wanderer, and Narset.
That's cool. So, Nate, what's the same about these that we want to lump them together like this? And what's similar about the way they play and so forth?
Well, I'm putting these three together because they're effectively about free stuff now, as opposed to, like, free stuff later, which is Joyra and Intet the Dreamer. Or they're double your spells, which is Melek, Wart the Rape Mother, and partially Riku of Two Reflections. And then there's spewing creatures on the board, which Riku also does, and Animar Soul of Elements. So these three, Jaleva, Maelstrom Wanderer, and Narset, when they hit the board or when they attack, just free stuff comes out of their deck. And so for that reason, you can include really big spells without ever having to worry about paying their mana cost.
That's cool. How do they play? What makes them different from one another, though? I mean, there's obviously a significant overlap there. but what are some of the key differences so that you won't play Jaleva, say, like you would Maelstrom Wanderer?
Jaleva and Narset, both of them don't like having that many creatures as a percentage of the cards in their deck. So when Jaleva comes in and attacks, then she looks at the top four cards of her deck. They're exiled out of the game. Hopefully, most of those cards are instants or sorceries. And along the same lines, Narset doesn't have a big use for creature spells coming in as one of her exiled cards. Maelstrom Wanderer is more friendlier to creatures as well as instants or sorceries or artifacts or enchantments. Yeah, there's overlap in the colors in that they all have red, they all have blue. They can go in different directions because each of the three of these has a different overlapping color.
So Jaleva has access to black. Her casting cost is one and a blue, black, red, so she's Grixis colors. She has flying. What makes her special is when Jaleva Nephelia's Scourge enters the battlefield, each player exiles the top X cards of his or her library, where X is the amount of mana spent to cast Jaleva. Whenever Jaleva attacks, you may cast an instant or sorcery card exiled with it without paying its mana cost. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, she's a 1-3 flying, so you're not really worried about doing commander damage with her. She's a legendary vampire wizard if you want to take some tribal things into account. But her main thing is you're going to get four cards out of your deck. You're also going to get four cards out of everyone else's deck. So somebody else might have some nice instants or sorceries for you as well.
Yeah, that scales up as well. So it's four cards the first time, then six, then eight, and so on and so on. Because she will die.
Right.
Important to note with her that if she dies with cards exiled with her ability, those cards, the second time you recast her, she doesn't gain access to them cards. Cards don't have a memory, essentially. So you need to choose what you're firing off when you get an attack out with her well.
Notably different from how Oblivion Sower works with the exiled pools of cards.
That's right, because it doesn't care when those were exiled.
That's true.
The Jaleva player wants to kill Jaleva periodically and wants her to die, but not before they've cast everything that's juicy in the exile pile.
Yeah, she does need to reload her spellbook by either killing her off yourself by doing a total board wipe in black, or she can also, there are a couple ways to bounce her too, which we can get into.
So that I think that brings a similarity to Maelstrom Wanderer as well. So Maelstrom Wanderer is a very simple and beautiful card. So he's 5 and a teamer, which is blue, red, green, to cast. He's a 7/5 elemental legendary creature. Creatures you control have haste, which is an amazing ability, and he has Cascade. Now, those of you that don't know Cascade was a mechanic that wasn't printed very much, but it's very powerful. When you cast a spell with Cascade, you exile top cards of your library until you exile a non-land card that costs less than the casting cost of the creature you've cast. You may cast it without paying its mana cost. Put the exiled cards at the bottom of your library in a random order, then do it again for Maelstrom Wanderer because he cascades twice.
Twice the fun.
So in this guy's case, it's 7. Any card with 7 converted mana cost or less.
Yeah. And because you couple that with the creatures you control have haste, what you can do with Maelstrom Wanderer, I run a Maelstrom Wanderer deck. I'd go as far as it's probably my most successful deck as far as win ratio goes. From out of nowhere, you can go from no board state at all to I've got 3 big nasty creatures flat out coming right at you in your face. Bam. The haste is so good on it.
Yeah, and he's a 7/5 with haste, so he's it's very possible to do commander damage with this guy.
Oh, easily. And once you get to a mid to late game stage, you kind of want him to die. Because you're in green rather than black, you've got access to all the really good ramp spells. So you generally have a better sort of mana base than a card like Jaleva or Narset has. So you want this guy to die, recast him, keep the cascades going. And the way you get him to die isn't by killing him or sacking him yourself. It's to keep smashing someone in the face with him so they have to deal with him. So you've got a choice. You've got to kill my commander to allow me to recast him to cascade again, or you can die in 3 turns to commander damage. But he's lovely. He's your friend.
Yeah, he really is. Playing against you is a lot of fun when you're running Maelstrom Wanderer.
Do you take, like, the extra turns in blue or the extra combat rounds in red to do instant commander damage that way?
It's not that frowned upon, but extra turns. So when you cascade into an extra turn spell with him, all you're really doing is having a second swing. So it's not like Jaleva, where if you take an extra turn, you get to fire off another sorcery. You don't get to cascade again with an extra turn. What you get with the Maelstrom Wanderer with an extra turn is, well, I get to throw a bit of extra damage out. So what I did is I replaced all my sort of extra turn effects with cards that allow my creatures to attack and essentially be unblocked. So stuff like Archetype of Imagination, which gives all your creatures flying and removes flying off your opponent. Sun Quan, Lord of Wu, which gives all your stuff horsemanship. There's a green one, is it Siege Behemoth, which allows all your creatures to deal damage as though they weren't blocked. So you're getting your damage through like that. It's not a commander damage deck. It's a just out of nowhere, here's 20 damage in your face kind of effect. Almost, I suppose it's because it's got the gruel colours within its pool. It's almost like a sort of Xenagos, Ataka kind of thing, where you're just going, I've got nothing, I've got nothing, I've got nothing, bam, in your face. I don't like the extra turns in it. I used to run a few. They didn't work for me.
That is a difference in playstyle between Maelstrom Wanderer, who just gets his free stuff when he gets cast, and Jaleva and Narset. They can repeat their effect by attacking. In that sense, extra turns and extra combat rounds help Jaleva and Narset, where they don't help Maelstrom Wanderer.
A quick note on these. There are certain spells in all of these that you don't want to put in, which are any spells that have X in the casting cost. When you cast a spell for free, whether it's with Jaleva's ability or with Maelstrom Wanderer's Cascade, X is always zero. You can't sort of pump your mana into it after you've cast it with the commander's ability.
Which is unfortunate in the case of Epic Experiment, which would otherwise be a great card in all these decks.
It would be a fantastic card in all these decks, but sadly, you need to really run Epic Experiment in... I think commanders we're going to talk about in another day in the series, so things like Melek and stuff like that. Because if you hit this with... I mean, it's not so bad with Jaleva, because you're pulling cards off other people's decks, so it's like, oh, it's not too bad. But Maelstrom Wanderer, if you cascade into an X spell and you've just spent 8 mana for essentially no effect, that's a depressing day. How do we get the best out of these commanders, guys?
We have one more commander that we need
sorry,
to cover.
Oh, sorry, Narset.
Narset is our fifth commander to be discussed today. It's Narset...
Phil, just stop you there. It's our third one.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. So Narset, Enlightened Master, is 3 and a blue-red-white, which is now Jeskai. She is a legendary creature human monk. She has first strike and hexproof. And whenever Narset, Enlightened Master, attacks, exile the top 4 cards of your library. Until end of turn, you may cast non-creature cards exiled with Narset this turn without paying their mana costs. And she's a 3/2. And so she typically is a Voltron commander.
The first strike and the hexproof makes her very annoying.
That's right. So you pile a bunch of enchantments on her. And or equipment. Obviously, the equipment only works outside of combat. And then she gets many, many, many extra attack phase spells. And in fact, every spell that grants you extra attack phases should be a Narset. And then she just piles it on. 4 cards every turn is hideous. Hideous.
Yeah, it's non-creature, non-land permanent. So that covers planeswalkers as well. And so if you pack enough extra turn effects in your deck, you can actually ultimate planeswalkers with her. just by taking enough turns to keep going off the pluses.
Right.
And blue, red, and white, white and blue in particular, sorry, red, white and blue have some of the best planeswalkers in the game. In fact, you could be really un-Vorthos-y and have Narset Transcendent in your deck as well. Chuck her out. She's horrible. The way to deal with a Narset, if she spreads into your meta, is to run effects that make your opponent, force your opponent to sacrifice creatures, because she's generally one of the only creatures in the deck, if not the only creature.
Right.
So, yeah, you look to the black player on the table and go, oh, help us, black mana, you're our only hope.
Help us, black mana, you're our only hope. Nate, you've identified a couple of ways that all of these generals can benefit.
Each of these generals, they're going to be looking at the top cards of their deck. So, how about some top deck manipulation? I'm just going to mention some cards. We got in Artifacts, Sensei's Divining Top. We've got Scroll Rack. In blue, some instants and sorceries. We got Brainstorm, which is cheap. Ponder. Telling Time. Jaleva, since she has access to black, she can cast Diabolic Vision. There's some lands. There's Halimar Depths. There are those temple lands that let you scry one. There's Temple of Epiphany. There's a couple others, depending on which
loads.
Commander you're going with.
The temples are really good because they're cheap at the moment as well. People aren't playing them because it's about to go out of set there. So buy temples.
Well, some of them are.
A couple. They'll go very soon. But temples, they're very good.
Yeah, I'd wait till rotation. A couple of the temples have actually spiked pretty high recently.
Have they? Okay. Listen to Phil. He's smarter than me.
No, I just watch more finance sites, I guess.
Limdol's Vault, if you're in Jaleva's colors as well.
Moving on to a slightly different topic. If you are Jaleva or Narset and you need to attack as soon as possible, then you're going to want haste. Now, Maelstrom Wanderer already comes with haste, so these next cards are not going to be so important to him, but Jaleva and Narset, take a look at Flamekin Village. It's a land that gives you red mana. A Hall of the Bandit Lord, you have to pay life to activate it. Ring of Vulcus is a artifact that gives you haste and a few counters. Clout of the Dominus is an enchantment aura that costs either a red or a blue, and it's basically a one-shot Lightning Greaves with a +2/+2. Hammer of Purphoros is a legendary enchantment artifact that gives all your creatures haste, and it gives you a little bit of extra stuff if you want to blow up your lands. And if your general doesn't already have Hexproof, then we have to give the obligatory shout-out to Swiftfoot Boots and Lightning Greaves. If you're playing a Voltron commander that doesn't already have Hexproof or Shroud, then you probably already have both of these in your deck.
Yeah, you don't need the Hexproof so much with Maelstrom Wanderer because you don't mind if he dies so much. And you get the Cascade when you cast him, so there's an important note on that, actually. If you counter him, you still get to Cascade twice because you have cast Maelstrom Wanderer.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's a little... If you're new to Magic, it's a slightly clunky thing, but it doesn't say when it enters the battlefield, so as soon as you cast it, doesn't matter what they do, you're still going to rip those two cards off the top of your deck. But so you don't need to worry about Hexproof for him. Another... I actually run haste effects in my Maelstrom Wanderer deck as well, because then if he's not out, because you're playing a lot of high power creatures, it just puts people on edge. But I generally put them on creatures, so creatures that give other creatures haste. The most notable one, and Phil, prepare for the groan from Phil, is Urabrask, the red Phyrexian Praetor.
Yeah, you shouldn't. You shouldn't play that one.
You should. And that has the added effect of making your opponent's creatures enter the battlefield tapped, which is brilliant. It makes your haste so much safer if essentially your opponents aren't going to be being able to leave blockers up so at all, really. It's a great card, Urabrask. Anyway, moving along.
All right. So what spells do you think belong in these decks? We've already talked a little bit about top deck manipulation. And we talked about fancy lands, but what about other maybe creature sidekicks? I think, Nate, that's what you were calling these guys.
Here's some creature sidekicks that you probably don't have many creatures in your deck, but if you do, I'm just going to read the names. Charmbreaker Devils, Gutter Snipe. Both of those are good with instants and sorceries.
Yeah.
Mnemonic Wall, Izzet Cronarch. If you need some
tokens.
Yeah,
actually, all four of those are good with instants and sorceries, right?
They look pretty good. If you need some tokens, Talran Sky Summoner and Young Pyromancer. Some other handy guys to have around. Galvanoth. Maybe Hypersonic Dragon. Maybe Jelectrode. Anything else?
Jelectrode. Yeah, Galvanoth is kind of an essential. I view it as an essential in these decks. I think we were talking about Melek, which we'll get to in a later episode, unfortunately. I think we were talking about Galvanoth with a Melek pilot, and we were disputing whether or not the Galvanoth belonged. And we think it does. He was of a different opinion, because I don't think he's focusing on...
Yeah, my Chileva uses Galvanoth. Mainly because the deck is 50% instants or sorceries, so I have a good shot of getting a free bomb every turn, in addition to being able to tap my lands and play another bomb from my hand, and then attacking with Jaleva and then getting something from her, too.
Yeah, and the key is to manipulate the top, so that if you can get Galvanoth on top and draw it, you're at an advantage. You definitely don't want to exile Galvanoth when Chileva comes into play. If it happens, no big deal, but still, extra Galvanoth value is always welcome. And Hypersonic Dragon, I tried that when I was dabbling with my Melek, and I think what I need to do is try it in a non-Melek deck. The ability to cast your sorceries at instant speed is just fantastic.
So the creature friends, which is mostly the deck for Maelstrom Wanderer, I separate my creatures into basically four categories, for Maelstrom Wanderer. The first is little creatures that help you ramp, so all card draw, so Calling Oracle, some Mana Dorks, stuff like Sakura Tribe, Elder. The Rattleclaw Mystic's really good in this deck, because you flip it for its morph and get a load of explosive mana in one quick hit. Eternal Witness, which Narset and Jaleva don't get access to, which is a fantastic spell. So that's category one. Category two is any other spell that allows you to sneak extra cards into play. So anything else in the colours with Cascade. The two notable ones are Blood Braid Elf and Shardless Agent. But there's also Ethereum Horn Sorcerer. So they scale up in their mana, but you still get your Cascade off of cascading into it, because Cascade, unlike some effects that just put the card into play, Cascade actually casts your card, and Cascade only works if you cast the card, but so you can chain Cascade stuff. The third category for Maelstrom Wanderer is just big beaters, stuff like I run both the Artarkas, things like Molten Primordial that comes in and puts a threaten effect onto three of your opponent's creatures. Stuff like Worm Coil Engine, it's just Value Town, Balefire Dragon, which will attack and wipe an opponent's board state. And the last category, which I mentioned briefly earlier, is creatures which essentially make all your stuff unblockable. So, yeah, the notable ones are Sun Quan, Archetype Imagination, and Siege Behemoth.
All right, some good tips for Maelstrom Wanderer.
I also run this card you guys might not have heard of, that's called Prophet of Krufix. It's pretty good.
Sure.
Wah, wah. All right, so those are some good tricks for Maelstrom Wanderer. So I'll give you a couple tricks specific to Jaleva. If you don't want to kill her and you want to bounce her back to your hand, try Cavern Harpy or Riptide Laboratory.
Those are great.
Or you can just board wipe everything.
Yeah, Riptide Laboratory is the bounce a wizard back to your hand, is it?
Yep. Return target wizard you control to its owner's hand. Jaleva's a wizard.
Or you can just board wipe with Blasphemous Act, Damnation, Croaks of Fate, Toxic Deluge, Decree of Pain, What else do we got? There are plenty others. And then you just recast Jaleva from the command zone with more mana and get more spells.
The more fun way to board wipe with Jaleva is to use one of your opponent's board wipes you've ripped off their deck with Jaleva.
Yeah, but not everyone is so obliging. Sometimes you got to take care of business yourself.
So that's the talking board wipes, that's the weakness of Maelstrom Wanderer, is people wiping your board can put you really far back. So the two best cards I've found to counteract that are Soul of New Phyrexia exists. He's a dude, you can pay 5 and make all your stuff indestructible for the turn. Or another one, which was a card Josh Lee Kwai turned me on to, which was the Cauldron of Souls. I don't know why this card isn't more popular in our format. It's fantastic.
It gives everything persist.
Yeah, artifact, tap. Pick target players, creatures, all gain persist until end of turn. So you don't even need to do it to yourself. You can use it as a political bargaining chip. It's fantastic.
My Reaper King does it in response to board wipes, and then all the scarecrows come right back in.
You're a horrible human being, Nate. Have I ever told you that?
Oh, something else you might want to look at for Maelstrom Wanderer. Check out Spearbreaker Behemoth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think Chris Thacker, one of our listeners, played that against me the other day. It might have been you, Nate. One of you two. No,
I got it from Thack.
Oh, yeah, yep. It was Thack that played it against me. And I was just like, what the hell am I meant to do about this? This is horrendous.
Yeah, the first time we saw it, we were playing against his deck in GP Las Vegas, and it was miserable when it appeared. Just miserable.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm surprised it's not been used. I suppose it's not in a color that really supports big, powerful creatures, is it?
No, but what with it being green?
Green. Should probably read it quickly. It's a 7 mana to cast, so 5/2 green creature beast green. It's a 5/5. It's indestructible itself, and you could pay 1 target creature with power 5 or greater is indestructible this turn. That's great.
Yeah, I forgot about that ability when I was playing against him, and I accidentally tried to destroy something that was pretty crucial. I later went on to repeat that mistake against you, but when you were running Avacyn, so...
Yeah, you did do it when I was running Avacyn. The same against Thack, though. I was like, ah, ha, ha, I'm going to destroy that. I didn't see that coming. He's like, yeah, I'm going to pay 1 mana, and it's like, oh, boop, boop. Read the board state. Look at what where you do stuff.
Yeah, I've got a selection of boops and beeps.
Can I not say boop, boop?
Probably not.
Is that a swear word where you live?
According to whatever organization makes the list of swear words.
Yep, it's from our puritanical upbringing.
I'm judging it's the church makes that list in your country. Over here, boop, boop. You could put in a children's television program and no one would really bat an eye. You might get a couple of people complaining. But...
Yeah, but the moment you say bloody, there are riots in the street.
If you say, this is a bad cup of tea, that's it. Mortal enemies for life.
So there are some good blue and or red instant sorcery bombs, aren't there?
Yeah, not wrong. Oh, yeah. Not wrong.
Jaleva or Narset, you can just sort all the blue cards of instants and sorceries and sort them by reverse mana cost, and you can just take about the top 20 or so and just throw them in the deck. Things like Blatant Thievery... Clone Legion might be pretty good. Stolen Identity. What else do we got, Sean?
Insurrection's a big one, but it doesn't really work for Jaleva. It's more a... It doesn't really work for Maelstrom Wanderer either, because it goes... you can't cascade into it. But Jaleva, it's... You've already attacked, so you need a second combat step to make the Insurrection work. You do have a couple of others, though. So Knowledge Exploitation... It costs its bribery, but for instance, the sorceries from your opponent's deck. That's fun. Everyone likes you playing their own spells from outside of their deck against them. Denying Wind was a card which Nate showed me first, which is search target player's library for up to 7 cards, remove them from the game. That player then shuffles their library. So that is...
It's like half a sadistic sacrament. But either one of those cards, if you dissect someone's deck properly, then they got nothing left. You do need good enough threat assessment to identify what to get rid of and what the combo pieces are.
Yeah, it's an anti-control card. The effects that removes targeted cards or named cards from people's libraries don't seem to get much play in Commander because oh, it's a 100-card format. I've been experimenting with them a bit lately. I found them really effective. They smooth out games, remove problems like stuff we put on the watch list really fast. And Denying Wind and Sadistic Sacrament are probably the two best ones for the format because they hit a lot of cards.
Yeah, they're absolutely brutal. I mean, 7 cards doesn't sound like a lot when you look at it as a 99-card deck, right? But 7 cards out of a Commander deck, 40 of which are land, mm-hmm. 10 of which are ramp of some sort, 10 more are probably artifact rocks, right? And so we're talking about, that's 60 cards right there. There's only 40 cards left. And then of the rest, there's a certain amount that are utility. Probably half of them are utility cards, which means you've only got about 15, 20 bombs, and then you can go in there.
Some people are building their decks around specific combos that involve 3 or 4 cards. You just identify those, nab them. Now what you
gonna
do?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You hit something like, let's pick randomly. Oh, a Child of Alara deck that masquerades as a Nekusar deck. If you go in and you remove 7 cards that take away the Nekusar abilities, that deck is in a lot of trouble. It's not dead, but it's in a lot of trouble.
I think the Sadistic Sacrament's even better. So that's one that's, it's 3 black to remove 3 cards from your opponent's library, although you can pay a kicker of 7 colorless mana, and that allows you to remove 15 cards from their library. now, because it's the kicker is an additional cost, if you rip the Sadistic Sacrament with Jaleva, you can pay additional costs. So you can't pay alternatives, so if you had a Cyclonic Rift, you couldn't overload it, but you can pay kickers or any additional cost on top of cards that you're casting for free. So for going and removing 15 cards from someone's library is absolutely horrendous. And for 3 black, doing it early game, and as Phil just mentioned, those decks which are 5 color decks that actually masquerade as a different commander, there is a 5 color Marquesa deck I've heard spoken about. There's a 5 color Nekusar deck. Oh, going all Grixis on this, aren't we? I've just noticed. But just to go in and go, yeah, you don't get to play with your commander anymore. It's gone for this game. Just they've just reprinted.
Yeah, you're not going to make friends with that player by doing it, though. These cards are not for making friends.
Well, then that right. player should be more honest about what they're trying to do with their deck and not rely on the crutch of 2 additional colors. Josh. Nah, it's a joke. But I think that might make that player think about cutting chaff out of their deck and leaning it down. What if let's use Marquesa as an example. So what are they relying on in white and green that they can't just do with their commander anyway?
But on the other hand, you might say that these are not 75% cards.
Well, Denying Wind and Sadistic Sacrament.
Yeah.
I think they are.
You think they are 75%?
Yeah,
cards.
I think they are, because there's going to be games where they do nothing, or if you sit down at your LGS and they're, and you sit across the table with like a couple of guys that you don't know what their deck does.
Right, so they do scale to their opponent's decks, but
yeah, they do.
That is one thing about them.
Yeah, like there's a point where you're going, well, they're in Simic colors, or you know, they've got green blue. I'm gonna at least go and try and hit a Prophet crew fix. That's helping the entire table there. If the better, you know, you're removing. If you go into someone's deck with a Sadistic Sacrament, you remove someone's Prophet, a Consecrated Sphinx, and a Time Stretch out of their deck. How's that not 75%ing? That's making the whole game going to be smoother for. It's a 4-player game for 3 other players. But it's not hamstringing their deck. They're still going to be able to play a game. They're just.
You're just enforcing the watch list.
Yeah. I think it's a. I think cards that are problem solvers generally are probably 75%.
Okay.
Well, these definitely solve problems.
Yeah
they do.
But they don't cause problems,
yeah,
do they?
I mean, 7 or 15 cards, all of which, you know, no matter what, you're including. So it's 7 cards for 9 mana, it's worth pointing out, and then 10 mana gets you 15 cards. So playing these kicked, in particular for Sadistic Sacrament, playing that kicked, is a late game effect. So they may have already gotten their combos off, and if they haven't, this is a good way to remove those and prevent them from doing it. And of course, take out the egregious combos and Prophet and Deadeye Navigator and anything else that's really a problem. Cavern of Souls, for example, you know that's in a Marquesa deck, so no matter what, you just get rid of it.
Well, I put Sadistic Sacrament into every black deck I've got, because if I'm playing people I don't know, and I play mono black quite a bit, and I think there's going to be like an Iona in there, I'm like, well, I want to be able to play this game of Magic, so let's have a look at your deck.
Oh, look at that, Iona. Oh, look at that, Nevermore.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, I really don't think these break. I think they're absolutely 75% cards. They are smoothing out. They kind of have a chance to whiff. I mean, they'll never whiff truly, because you will remove something. But run them. There's ones that aren't so good. So the reason this ability gets a bad rep is there's stuff like Cranial Extraction, and they just reprinted one in Origins, didn't they? Not reprinted, printed a new one, Infinite Obliteration. And the reason they're not so good is they remove one card and all copies of that card from hands, graveyards, and libraries. But obviously, we're playing a singleton format.
So you could use them against Shadowborn Apostle, or you could use them against Relentless Rats, and that's about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can use them against anything to remove one card, but a one-for-one out of someone's deck and hand feels poor. There's another black one that does it. You remove one card for each swamp you control. I can't remember the name of it. I think it's got the word Nightmare in its title. But I've run that one before as well. Oh, that's annoying me that I can't remember what that's called.
Well, we'll come up with it.
I'll think of it. Oh, I've just remembered it. It's Nightmare Incursion. So it's 6 mana, and it removes X cards from the opponent's library, exiles them, and X is the number of swamps you control. Nightmare Incursion. It's super cheap as well, like 50 cents.
Sorry, I'm adding it to my shopping cart.
Okay, I just checked the banned list. The banned one is Recurring Nightmare, Incursion.
Yes.
Yeah, which is really too bad.
Oh, Recurring Nightmare would be a sick card. Let's not go down that rabbit hole. That card would be so broken.
Yeah, I think I picked one up at one point, not realizing it was banned, but it's still a good card. I'll hold on to it until they get rid of the banned list.
They're not going to get rid of the banned list.
All right, so we have other big sorceries that blue and red, and actually black, can really use, right? One of them is Searing Wind.
Yeah, red has some big burn spells. They're actually not that effective, I've found. I mean, you can do 10 damage to one player for 9 mana, and that's not going to kill them. That's not going to knock them out. Inferno is more useful for Jaleva, because you get to, you're board wiping almost. I found the better burns for Jaleva are Sorin's Vengeance and Blood Tribute.
Blood Tribute's good.
Mm-hmm.
So Sorin's Vengeance is 4 colorless and 3 black sorcery. Deals 10 damage to target player and you gain 10 life. And Sean, how's Blood Tribute?
Blood Tribute is black sorcery for 4 and 2 black. Target opponent loses half a life rounded up. Or you can pay a kicker, which is tap an untapped vampire you control, and then you gain the amount of life lost this way. Now, obviously, Jaleva's attacking to rip this off for free, but if you've drawn it, your general is a vampire in a Jaleva deck.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, you will be hard casting some sorceries out of your hand, because you draw cards and, you know, have a hand of cards in this game. So the Blood Tribute's, yeah, great addition to a Jaleva deck. 50% of someone's life's good, and if you've got someone that's playing like an Aloro deck or something, which seems likely as he's the most popular commander, suddenly go
with that.
50% of your life chop gone is really, really good.
Yeah, that's brutal. And then why don't we go through the rest of these cards? You've got Spelltwine, which is actually a classic, but here it's
brutal. I love Spelltwine.
Yeah, that's nice. There's a note here called Sins of the Past.
Oh, yeah, that's black specifically lets you cast one card out of a graveyard.
Oh, without paying its mana cost. That's pretty good. You've also listed here Memory Plunder. Brutal.
So the Memory Plunder is particularly brutal because it is an instant, unlike most of these other effects that allow you to recur spells out of opponents' graveyards. Tend to be either on creatures or on sorceries.
Oh, and it's important to remember that when you cast a spell using Jaleva, even though it comes from exile, you then put the spell wherever it belongs when it's done being cast, which is typically in the graveyard of the owner.
Normally, yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, instant Memory Plunder is really, really, really good.
And then two creatures that kind of belong in any of these. Well, one of them is specific to Jaleva again. Diluvian Primordial and Rexxiel the Risen Deep. Both of those care about whether or not your opponent has sorceries and or instants in their graveyards. So, if you've been, let's say, I'm just going to pull this out, just say, obliterating your opponent's graveyards, then you don't want to run either one of those.
Yeah.
Diluvian Primordial is has won me tons of games before.
Yeah, it's a card, you know, I own a copy of it, and it's a card that I don't run. I'm not sure why. I think just because I'm not a good Magic player.
It's an unpredictable late game bomb.
Yeah, it really is.
I think it becomes predictable if you play in the same meta a lot. It's unpredictable in a pickup game and LGS, but if you play with the same group of people, you start to see certain players recurring the same sort of spells over and over again. So, like, for example, Rise of the Dark Realms, which is a hilarious sorcery that should be in a Jaleva deck. Rise of the Dark Realms is in our group a lot. So when I Diluvian Primordial that game, I know I'm normally getting all creature cards out of all graveyards. That sort of thing. There are certain effects people are always going to have. So if you need a board wipe late game, the Primordial is normally going to find one. If your opponent has an empty graveyard, you can still cast it because you can just fail to find. Yeah, it's won me tons of games, the Diluvian Primordial. That and Sepulchral Primordial.
All the Primordials are pretty good, actually.
The green one, I don't see him used very much. One of them's too good.
All right, those are all great cards for these generals. Again, you know, this was kind of focusing on Jaleva and Narset and the Maelstrom Wanderer for our Big Mana, our first episode in the Big Mana series. Nate, what's coming up in our Big Mana series?
Next episode in our Big Mana series will be the generals who get free stuff later. They cheat out big spells, and they're creature friendly. Joyra of the Gitu and Intet the Dreamer.
Yeah, Intet's a commander I've looked at building a few times. He's going to be good fun. Joyra is brutal.
Yeah, Joyra's got some mean tricks to her.
Yeah, she's a commander that gets hated out a lot. I think she's another Rafik problem commander, but she's going to be worth a conversation. I noticed we didn't talk a lot about Narset. I think it's because it's a card that kind of writes its own strategy.
Yeah, for Narset, again, you're playing her like a Voltron general, so you want as many extra attacks as possible, and that comes from the red extra combat turn effects and also the
blue extra turns.
And also blue extra turns. And her spells get ripped off and you can cast them as normal. So you can only cast enchantments and equipment and so forth when you can cast a sorcery. Instants you can cast right away, but you're not running a lot of instants in a Narset deck. You're basically piling up effects and making it difficult for people to attack you. So you'll kind of take a pillow fort approach to defense and then an extra attack step or turn approach to offense. And again, her trigger works when she attacks. I'm looking forward to that next episode and the rest of the episodes in the series. So, before the end of our show, as we promised at the start of our show, here are the details for our contest. We hope everybody takes the time to enter. We're going to play an audio clip of my daughter, Jessica, who describes the casting cost and art on the cards from a pack of Origins that she opened, especially for this contest. To enter, you have to send email to cast@commanderinmtg.com. If you get 10 or more cards correct, you are eligible to win a pack of Origins. We're going to send out 5 packs of Origins cards.
Phil, do you mean 5? Surely you mean 4.
Oh, I do. I mean 4. That's right. 4 packs of Origins. Sorry, I get the number 5 and 4 confused frequently these days. And if you can get all 15 non-ad cards correct, you are eligible to win a pack of cards and a fancy commander in playmat. Because this is so difficult, we're giving you the card she calls Book for free. That's JMD Tome. Good luck, everybody.
So then that's 14 cards, non-ad cards.
No, they have to list JMD Tome.
They still have to list the one that they already know. So if you send in,
they get it from
if you send in a list of 15 cards and none of them are JMD Tome, you didn't listen.
That's right. You have to list 15 non-ad cards correctly to get to be eligible to win a pack of cards and a fancy commander and playmat. And so JMD, just to be clear, perfectly clear, JMD Tome has to be in your list. And it has to be listed in the order she lists them. So.
Oh, the mind of a child.
Good luck, everybody.
Good luck, everyone.
Fortunately, there's a pattern, and astute listeners will detect that pattern. All entries must be received by noon Pacific time on the 14th of August, and we will be picking random winners from among correct entries.
Yeah, we will.
The contest is open to everybody worldwide.
What about people in international space stations?
If you are on the ISS, we will hold your Origins booster until your mission has finished.
That's a very good question, Nate. Thank you for asking it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and if you are on the International Space Station, be sure to enter our contest and drop us a line. It's good to be excited.
Yes, so this voice recording...
Right here.
We are going to be opening magic cards.
Yes, that's right. We are.
An entire box full.
Well, not an entire box full. Not right now, at least. Hold on.
I want to open it now.
So what we're going to do, everybody, is based on the rules that we've already described.
I want kettle corn.
I'm recording this with my daughter, and this is my daughter.
Yes, yes, yes.
And what's your name?
Jessica.
Great. So now Jessica's going to open a pack of magic cards. And
yes. Oh, can I open it now?
Okay, go get a pack of magic cards from this Magic Origins box. And now you have a pack. What's on the pack?
It is a archer, which I actually have that girl.
It's Nyssa, yeah. Now here's what we're going to do, Jess.
We are going to open it, and I am going to...
You're going to list... Say. You're going to describe how much it costs to cast... And then each card, what are you going to do one at a time?
I'm going to describe them.
You're going to describe the magic, the spell cost, and the picture. And you don't have to be very precise about the picture, but just enough so that our listeners can kind of guess at what they are.
I'm having trouble.
Yeah, be careful. Don't mangle the cards.
So the first one has 2 ghost pieces and 1 sunlight. And it's a glowy ghost. Not glowy ghost, but our ghost is things.
Use your words, Jessica.
Papa. Okay, you describe that one.
No, I'm not going to describe them. So that's the first card.
It's somebody summoning ghost arms.
Oh.
It's the best I can do.
All right.
The next one is... 1 ghost piece and 1 skull shard, and it's some guy, some warrior, having not showing his front side with a knife. Mm-hmm. So, that's the second one.
Okay, the third card.
Oh, my gosh. That is ginormous compared to a human.
All right, did it.
It is five ghost pieces in one tree branch. That is disturbing me. It has a lot of eyes with a tongue that has claws.
All right, very good.
That is the creepiest picture I've ever seen.
Card number 4.
Two ghost pieces, one do drop, some guy holding a mirror amulet.
Okay.
The next
card
one.
Card number 5.
Is 4 ghost pieces, 1 sunlight, a bunch of warriors. Because it's a bunch of warriors.
Okay.
The next one is 1 ghost piece with a golden robot pet. Some guy's robot pet. The next one
next
is
card.
3 ghost pieces and 1 fireball. It's some warthog with spikes on its bag. It's giant.
Okay, next card.
1 ghost piece and 1 skull shard, some guy turning into smoke.
Okay. Next card.
1 do drop a fairy.
Wait, say that again. They may not have heard it.
1 do drop a fairy.
All right. Next card.
3 ghost pieces and 1 tree branch.
Yeah.
Wolves.
Okay.
Wolves. Next one is 2 ghost pieces and 1 fireball. Electricity to robots.
Okay.
The next one is 6 ghost pieces. That is a very pretty lamb.
A lamb?
I'm calling it a lamb with wings. Giant wings. A golden lamb with giant wings.
Next card.
3 ghost pieces. A book.
Mm-hmm.
A book.
Okay, and the last card.
No, not the last card. There's still more.
Oh, yeah, okay.
1 ghost piece and 1 sunlight. A castle, a castle of ruins.
Okay.
A land.
Yeah, what kind of land?
A fire mountain land.
And that's an ad card.
And then an ad card. That is all of them in that pack.
That's great. And so, now if this were your YouTube channel, what would you say?
Comment, rate, subscribe, and bye! Boop! That's what I would say at the end of my videos. Yeah.
All right. Good luck, everybody.
Bye-bye. I'm walking away now.
Okay, that's our show. Our first ever contest, guys. This is very exciting.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing all of the entries. So we love to hear from our listeners, so please take the time to contact us. You know what? Write to us at cast@commanderandmtg.com. Let us know how you feel about the show, and especially take the time to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. That really helps us get more attention from people who really care about the number of listeners and how highly rated we are. As Josh Lee Kwai has pointed out, both on his show and ours, that puts these podcasts at the top of the list, and that exposes it to more people, which in turn gets us more ability to get you cool things. Our logo was created by Mr. Picto. You can find Mr. Picto at mrpicto.co.uk. And just to be clear about it, that's mrpicto.co.uk. He was assisted by Kelly DeLuca. Our song was composed and created by one Nate Burgess. You may have heard his voice once or twice in the last hour or so. And special thanks to our tech wizards, Jesse Thompson, Graham Frank, and Justin for the server space. You can reach us by going to our website at www.commanderinmtg.com. I put the www in there in case somebody got confused by our contest directions. Our email is cast@commanderinmtg.com. On YouTube, we are Commander and MTG Podcast. On YouTube, how cool is that?
Yeah, thank you, Nate. Very cool.
Yeah, it is. On Reddit, our username is Commander and MTG. On Facebook, we're Commander and MTG Podcast. And on Twitter, we are at Commander and MTG.
Phil, what are the individual Twitter handles of the four hosts?
Sean, we only have three hosts.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. On Twitter, I'm at Ketjack.
I am at Copain26.
I am at Mr. Plog.
And remember, everybody, keep on commandering.
You want me to edit this one?
Commanderin.